Today is the 31st day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Of course, it's awesome to be here with you today as we prepare to close down the 10th month of the year. Today is the 304th day of the year, which leaves us with 61 steps to go to the finish line. And also today we will conclude the book of Lamentations. So let's get to that. We are reading from the Good News Translation this week. Lamentations chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, verse 22 today. Our glittering gold has grown dull. The stones of the temple lie scattered in the streets. Zion's young people were as precious to us as gold, but now they are treated like common clay pots. Even a mother wolf will nurse her cubs, but my people are like ostriches, cruel to their young. They let their babies die of hunger and thirst. Children are begging for food that no one will give them. People who once ate the finest foods die starving in the streets. Those raised in luxury are pawing through garbage for food. My people have been punished even more than the inhabitants of Sodom, which met a sudden downfall at the hands of God. Our princes were undefiled and pure as snow, vigorous and strong, glowing with health. Now they lie unknown in the streets, their faces blackened in death, their skin, dry as wood, has shriveled on their bones. Those who died in the war were better off than those who died later, who starved slowly to death with no food to keep them alive. The disaster that came to my people brought horror. Loving mothers boiled their own children for food. The Lord turned loose the full force of his fury. He lit a fire in Zion that burned it to the ground. No one, anywhere, not even rulers of foreign nations, believed that any invader could enter Jerusalem's gates. But it happened because her prophets sinned, and her priests were guilty of causing the death of innocent people. Her leaders wandered through the streets as though blind, so stained with blood that no one would touch them. "Get away," people shouted. "You're defiled. Don't touch me." So they wandered from nation to nation, welcomed by no one. The Lord had no more concern for them. He scattered them himself. He showed no regard for our priests and leaders. For help that never came, we looked until we could look no longer. We kept waiting for help from a nation that had none to give. The enemy was watching for us. We could not even walk in the streets. Our days were over. The end had come. Swifter than eagles swooping from the sky, they chased us down. They tracked us down in the hills. They took us by surprise in the desert. They captured the source of our life, the king the Lord had chosen, the one we had trusted to protect us from every invader. Laugh on, people of Edom and Uz. Be glad while you can. Your disaster is coming too. You too will stagger naked in shame. Zion has paid for her sin. The Lord will not keep us in exile any longer. But Edom, the Lord will punish you. He will expose your guilty acts. Remember, O Lord, what has happened to us. Look at us and see our disgrace. Our property is in the hands of strangers. Foreigners are living in our homes. Our fathers have been killed by the enemy, and now our mothers are widows. We must pay for the water we drink. We must buy the wood we need for fuel. Driven hard like donkeys or camels, we are tired, but we are allowed no rest. To get food enough to stay alive, we went begging to Egypt and Assyria. Our ancestors sinned, but now they are gone, and we are suffering for their sins. Our rulers are no better than slaves, and no one can save us from their power. Murderers roam through the countryside. We risk our lives when we look for food. Hunger has made us burn with fever until our skin is as hot as an oven. Our wives have been raped on Mount Zion itself. In every Judean village, our daughters have been forced to submit. Our leaders have been taken and hanged. Our elders are shown no respect. Our young men are forced to grind grain like slaves. Boys go staggering under heavy loads of wood. The old people no longer sit at the city gate, and the young people no longer make music. Happiness has gone out of our lives. Grief has taken the place of our dances. Nothing is left of all we were proud of. We sinned, and now we are doomed. We are sick at our very hearts and can hardly see through our tears. Because Mount Zion lies lonely and deserted, and wild jackals prowl through its ruins. But you, O Lord, are king forever, and will rule to the end of time. Why have you abandoned us so long? Will you ever remember us again? Bring us back to you, Lord. Bring us back. Restore our ancient glory. Or have you rejected us forever? Is there no limit to your anger? Hebrews chapter 2. That is why we must hold on all the more firmly to the truths we have heard, so that we will not be carried away. The message given to our ancestors by the angels was shown to be true, and those who did not follow it or obey it received the punishment they deserved. How then shall we escape if we pay no attention to such a great salvation? The Lord Himself first announced this salvation, and those who heard Him proved to us that it is true. At the same time, God added His witnesses to theirs by performing all kinds of miracles and wonders, and by distributing the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. God has not placed the angels as rulers over the new world to come, the world of which we speak. Instead, as it is said somewhere in the scriptures, "What are human beings, O God, that you should think of them? Mere humans that you should care for them. You made them for a little while lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor, and made them rulers over all things." It says that God made them rulers over all things. This clearly includes everything. We do not, however, see human beings ruling over all things now. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, so that through God's grace He should die for everyone. We see Him now, crowned with glory and honor, because of the death He suffered. It was only right that God, who creates and preserves all things, should make Jesus perfect through suffering, in order to bring many children to share his glory. For Jesus is the one who leads them to salvation. He purifies people from their sins, and both he and those who are made pure all have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his family. He says to God, "I will tell my people what you have done. I will praise you in their meeting." He also says, "I will put my trust in God." And he also says, "Here I am with the children that God has given me." Since the children, as he calls them, are people of flesh and blood, Jesus himself became like them and shared their human nature. He did this so that through his death he might destroy the devil, who has the power over death, and in this way set free those who were slaves all their lives because of their fear of death. For it is clear that it is not the angels that he helps. Instead, he helps the descendants of Abraham. This means that he had to become like his people in every way, in order to be their faithful and merciful high priest in his service to God, so that the people's sins would be forgiven. And now he can help those who are tempted, because he himself was tempted and suffered. Psalm 103. The Love of God. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And do not forget how kind he is. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He keeps me from the grave and blesses me with love and mercy. He fills my life with good things so that I stay young and strong like an eagle. The Lord judges in favor of the oppressed and gives them their rights. He revealed his plans to Moses and let the people of Israel see his mighty deeds. The Lord is merciful and loving, slow to become angry and full of constant love. He does not keep on rebuking. He is not angry forever. He does not punish us as we deserve, or repay us according to our sins and wrongs. As high as the sky is above the earth, so great is his love for those who honor him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins from us. As a father is kind to his children, so the Lord is kind to those who honor him. He knows what we are made of. He remembers that we are dust. As for us, our life is like grass. We grow and flourish like a wild flower. Then the wind blows on it, and it is gone. No one sees it again. But for those who honor the Lord, his love lasts forever and his goodness endures for all generations of those who are true to his covenant and who faithfully obey his commands. The Lord placed his throne in heaven. He is king over all. Praise the Lord, you strong and mighty angels who obey his commands, who listen to what he says. Praise the Lord, all you heavenly powers, you servants of his who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his creatures in all the places he rules. Praise the Lord, my soul. Proverbs 26:23. insincere talk that hides what you are really thinking is like a fine glaze on a cheap clay pot. Okay, so we're quite a bit of ways into the Book of Proverbs, and we have been dispensed. Like, each day, a bit of wisdom has been given to us that is practical and usable and true. And we also notice that it deals with all of the different postures and issues of our lives, encouraging us in the path that leads to and operates within wisdom. But we also have to acknowledge that where it is taking us now, the territory that we are going through right now, is pretty close to home, because it's dealing with the things that we're saying and how that affects things. And it uses metaphors that we can understand to show us what we're doing, which gives us a great opportunity to ask ourselves, is that what I want to be doing with my words? In other words, if this is what is happening, is that who I want to be? So let's look at this proverb. Insincere talk is how this proverb begins. So what are we talking about when we're talking about insincere talk? We're talking about language or the portrayal of an emotion that is not authentic, that is not genuine. In other words, we don't mean what we're actually saying, and we don't feel what we're actually portraying. We're saying it because it's what we feel like we should say, or we're exaggerating what we're saying or what we're portraying ourselves to be feeling. We're exaggerating and stretching that beyond what is true and authentic. And the proverb says this is cheap talk. And we know that euphemism. We know that proverb. Talk is cheap. This is what we're talking about. But underneath that, we have to understand that it's a sham. It's not true. It's not genuine. It's not authentic. It's not real. It veils the truth. It hides what you're really thinking. So as the proverb goes, insincere talk that hides what you're really thinking is like a fine glaze on a cheap clay pot. So if we're looking at the metaphor, then the clay pot is made of cheap materials, is maybe poorly constructed, isn't going to hold together that well. Maybe it's porous and actually won't hold liquid, and so this glaze is put over the top that's going to break down and it's going to leak, which probably brings us to another euphemism. That won't hold water. That's what we're talking about here. And so this glaze is slapped on top of it to make it look like it's a finely crafted piece. But it's not. It's cheap. It's not going to hold up. It's not what it's being presented to be. So put that starkly, as the Proverbs are prone to do, we immediately have the mirror that the scriptures become up in front of our faces. And we have to examine ourselves. That's the invitation of the proverb. Do you want to live wise or not? If you do, then this is what you need to pay attention to. This is what the proverbs teach us. So we have to look at ourselves and say, am I true? Am I real? Am I authentic and genuine in the things that I communicate? Or is most of this a sham? I don't think there's anyone, you know, listening right now that's like, yes, yes, every day I roll out of bed and see how fake I can possibly be. And when I lay my head down at night, if I can feel like I fooled everyone, then mission accomplished. Like, I don't think we live our lives that way. But using this proverb and the metaphor that it presents us, we might find that we very much are participating in insincere talk throughout any given day. And according to the proverb, we're trying to pass off something as valuable that is cheap. And if we'll pay attention to this proverb, if we'll put it in our hearts and walk through this day observing ourselves, we'll probably catch ourselves. And as we observe ourselves being this way, then we have the opportunity to name it and change it. So, Father, we come into your presence asking for your help with this, the false places inside of us that just come spilling out in all kinds of social situations. How is it that we can be true and sincere and present in our language, in our speech, rather than peddling something off that isn't true? Come, Jesus, we pray. We need your help, and we ask for it in your name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is the website, and it's home base. So where you find out what's going on around here. And of course, one of the things that we do very well around here is pray for each other. If you have a prayer request or comment, if you're shouldering burdens, there's a place to bring them and have them shouldered together in community. 877-942-4253 is the number you can dial. And that's it for today. This concludes the 10th month of our year together. Concludes the month of October. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow as we begin a new month.
Hello, DAB family. This is Shannon in Arroyo Grande. Please join me in praying for my cousin Toby. He's 40 and has brain cancer. It's returned a second time. He just had surgery and they've removed it, but he needs to start chemo. I pray that this time, Lord, Toby's brain cancer would be completely removed and then it would never return. Pray for his family. Give them your peace and comfort as they worry about him and love him this time. We thank you that they know you. And again, we just ask that he will be completely healed of the brain cancer. May it never return. May his peace be in you, and may he know that you have his best in mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, siblings. It's me, your little sis, his little Cherie in Canada. A big thank you to everybody who has prayed for me or sent kind thoughts my way. I so appreciate it. I have been doing better emotionally. I'm feeling a lot of peace about my situation with the possible progression of my MS, even though I am seeing symptoms. Overall, I'm just generally feeling a lot of peace. And the update is that I'm going to have to wait until January to make any decision, which is good news in a way because I don't have to make a decision right now about beginning MS drugs. I won't be able to see my neurologist until January. I did call her, but the nurse explained to me that I have an appointment with her in a few months, and she'll be able to reassess me at that time. We'll be able to talk about anything I want to, and we'll make a decision whether MS drugs is appropriate. And then I have to kind of apply to begin these drugs and be approved. So there's a bit of a process involved here in Canada. So the long and the short of it is, I don't have to do anything right now. I am noticing progression in some of my symptoms, but I just feel the Lord is protecting me emotionally from the fear that I was feeling. So thank you so much to those of you who have prayed for me. I know people have been praying on the prayer line. I know people have been praying on the prayer wall. A friend has sent me some of those prayers. Just beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart, family. You guys are awesome. And I'll continue to keep you updated.
This is Molly calling in to respond to Bob from Phoenix. Bob, I don't know what your circumstances are, but God does. It sounds to me like you are pretty open to God's moving in your heart and in your life. Keep something in mind. You don't have to hear God's voice in order to give your life completely over to Jesus. It's a matter of your will. If it were anything else, then it wouldn't be faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, please be encouraged. Just obey the word that you're reading and you're hearing. And move on with your life. It's going to get better. It always does. And God is faithful to honor your prayers and to honor your faith. Just wanted to let you know.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. I want to pray for Eyes of a Dove, called in about Jerry, her father. And as I also am starting to move in with my mom, the difficulty of the mental anguish and fear and delusions that keep us from having a fulfilling relationship. We leave them all at your feet, Lord. We come before you, Lord, to lift up those who are suffering with dementia and the families that are supporting them through this serious and distressing disease. It must be traumatic to begin to realize that one's memory is beginning to fail, and heartrending for those that are left to care and support their loved ones with dementia through their process of physical and mental degeneration. Pour your love and grace into the hearts of all those that are affected by dementia and memory loss. And we pray that you would supply all their needs according to your riches and glory. Bless all who care for those with this debilitating disease and supply them with an abundance of your loving patience, gentle graciousness, and inner strength as they support and care for their loved one day by day. Lord, in your loving kindness and great compassion, we pray that you would bestow your tender mercies, sufficient strength, and inner peace on all who are today involved in one way or another with dementia, and uphold each one with your righteous right hand, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Daily Audio Bible. This is Laura Lee in Boynton Beach.